As we move through this Advent season, and as we move into our new liturgical year, I'm sure everyone noticed last week, I'm sure it's just right there, was one of the first things you noticed, that we have changed Gospels. Last year we were in the Gospel of Luke, and this year we are in the Gospel of Matthew. I'm sure you all just picked that up immediately. Both Gospels tell us a whole lot about being vigilant and ready for the great moment that we celebrate in a few weeks. Matthew, however, tells us a whole lot more about this kind of within our Jewish roots. We find many more references to our whole Jewish heritage and history in Matthew's Gospel than we find in Luke's. We are, however, always told to be ready, alert, watching, ready to straighten the paths of the Lord. So already today, in the third chapter of this Gospel, we meet the great John the Baptist, making it very clear that the kingdom that will be God's is a kingdom that we enter by way of repentance. We meet the Pharisees and we meet the Sadducees, who make up such a powerful part of the world that surrounds the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. These are elements of conversion that are brought forth in today's Gospel. So as we celebrate this second week of Advent today, we are, I am sure, very aware, some of us, of some other numbers that might be significant in our lives. Your pastor today is not missing from this church because he's mourning the number of the score. He's away for one of his other preoccupations. He's playing Union Soldier, as you probably all know. And so I know that as absolutely authentic as he tries to be when he goes to reenactments and how diligent he is about those things, his iPhone told him the score. Even though he took it out of the pocket of a thoroughly woolen coat that he wore in keeping with the authenticity of the reenactment. If I'm wrong, it won't be the first time. However, the other number that might be also in your mind today is the number 22, because I believe that is 22 days till the fact that Christmas is upon us. 22 days left for shopping and getting ready for Christmas. Now, interestingly enough for us in the Christian world, this Advent season and Christmas shopping kind of go hand in hand. They run side by side. And so hopefully both of these seasons blend for us as a joyful season. A lot of people look at Christmas shopping and go, oh my goodness. But really the joy of Christmas shopping is a very real and important part of our human life. The joy of shopping for those we care about. The very gift-giving experience itself. Or maybe it's that one time of year that we actually reach out to another, if only by a Christmas card, to acknowledge those that we have cared about in the past and continue to care about in the present. Or that very true joy of giving to another just to see the experience and the delight in their eye and the tug on their heart when they realize, oh, you really thought this present through. This present really speaks to your understanding of me. What an absolute delight to see that in the gift receiver's eye, and to know the tug on the heart that is consequent. That is the joy of Christmas season from the shopper's point of view. Now running along with that, hopefully, is an Advent joy. That we are alert, we are awake, we are prepared to make straight the way of the Lord, the wonder of a God who also has given so generously to each and every one of us. Our God, who did not have to go shopping to create a delight in our eye or a tug on our heart, but rather a God whose gift to us is himself. The most wonderful and overwhelming gift he could give, the gift of his only begotten Son, shared with us for the sake of our redemption. We know that throughout history, we have had a people who searched and worked to find adequate ways to celebrate this great gift-giving by our God. We have written books about it. We have penned poems about it. We've created pageants. We've sung songs. And we've turned whole sections of churches into an artistic rendering of the moment of his birth. I don't know if many of you are familiar with your cathedral, but the whole north transept is a great stained glass window commemorating the birth of Christ. And if you're going to create a scavenger hunt, send people out to find the stained glass window of Herod, because the stained glass window at Holy Family that commemorates the birth of Christ not only has Mary and Jesus and Joseph, shepherds and sheep, and three wise men, but in the corner, glaring down, is Herod. The whole story is told in that. Now, whether you move from that kind of magnificence in stained glass to the absolutely intimate and most tender creche that you put right here before your altar each Christmas, we attempt in all of these things to create an art that draws us, that draws our human heart to embrace this overwhelming gift that Jesus is for us. For centuries, the world lay in expectation of the gift God promised to give. And the faithful, the chosen people, remained ever hopeful that that gift indeed would be given. And in their poetry, they attempted to share what this gift might be. What are the wonders that will come with the gift of the Messiah? But all of their Hebrew scripture dared not actually speak of the true wonder. Even the great Isaiah could not begin to imagine the wonder that would be this gift. His poetry today dares to hint at it. The wolf shall be the guest of the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The cow and the bear shall rest together. The lion will eat hay like the ox instead of eating the ox. The baby shall play at the cobra's den. The child shall lay his hand at the adder's lair. What beautiful, beautiful poetic statements about the hope in the promise that God gave to the faithful people. But the real wonder, the real miracle, could not even be spoken until the new scriptures are created. That God indeed shall be made flesh and dwell among us, that the Word became flesh and dwells in our midst. God becomes one with humanity. It's a little more significant than a wolf being a guest of a lamb, or the cow and the bear resting together. The divinity and humanity are made one together. Even Isaiah could not hint at this true wonder, could not imagine or even hope that the Messiah promised would in fact be divine and human. The joy of the Advent season is to celebrate the fidelity of God in the gift of his only begotten Son. And as for centuries, the world lay in expectation of the gift that God had promised, so now, for centuries, we the Christian people have expected the second great promise to be fulfilled as well. The Word that dwells among us has promised to return. To return in glory and to take his faithful people to the throne of his loving Father, where we can see the joy of our God as God gives us his heaven for all eternity. So it is our joy. It is in fact our responsibility to prepare the way for this Lord. It is our responsibility to make his paths straight. And we do so by listening to and reacting to the challenge of John the Baptist today. Repent. Repent of your sins, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. We certainly do not want to be as were the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they stood before him. From John the Baptist today, we do not want to hear, "Brood of vipers, why are you here?" Rather, let us rejoice with John the Baptist when he looks upon us and says, "Ah, indeed, you have produced good fruit as evidence of your repentance." Prepare the way of the Lord, make his ways straight, and do so by the way you live your life.